tonight, we're going to go on to part three. And this has been, I'm just maybe one step ahead of you on this, because God teaches me during the week, and then I try to put it together on Thursday nights. And some of this I knew, but some of this I didn't know. And so I've been studying this week, and I'm going to try to put together what I believe the Lord wants us to talk about. Part three here, I've entitled it, Know What You Have Authority Over. Now, it's going to take, that's part two of this lesson. It's going to take us a little while to get there, because the Lord kind of filled in a bunch of stuff in the beginning here that I'd like to go over first. Now, let's just talk about, first of all, part one here, as I've called, Jesus receives, then gives believers his authority on the earth. Now, let's just, this is a little bit of review, but I think it's kind of ties it all together. So let's kind of go over this. After Jesus defeated Satan in hell, okay, he received three things. This is what the Lord teaching me this week. Number one, Jesus received, and I'm going to talk about this a little more, but let me just cover the three. Jesus received all authority in both heaven and in earth. We'll talk about that a little bit. Number two, Jesus received the keys to death and hell. We'll talk about that. Number three, Jesus received a name above every name. And that name is Jesus. You say, well, that was already his name. Yes, but it didn't have the power and the authority that went with it that it does now. We'll read about that in a minute. So let's first of all open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28 and take a look at verse 18. We looked at this verse last week, but I believe it would please the Lord if we take another look at this tonight. So let's just turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Yes?
When you read the scripture verses, read them out really loud. Some of them will pick up on the tape and some don't.
Okay. That's a good point.
I listened to the tape in the car and I couldn't hear what anybody said.
So. Okay. Well, I'll try to also go over it a little bit after it's read, too. Yeah. Yeah. Marianne, would you read verse 18 and 19, please?
Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Read verse 22.
And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age.
Thank you, honey. Now, Jesus he's died, he's risen from the dead now, and he's given his disciples some last instructions. In fact, this is the last words in Matthew. Now, this I want to point out that Jesus has already risen from the dead here, okay? And he's given him his last instructions. And now, since he's risen from the dead, he's saying this, all power or authority is the Greek word, exousia, means authority. So we're not talking about power, really, we're talking about authority. All authority is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Now listen to what he's saying. How much power is given to Jesus?
All.
There's not any power that he doesn't have now, right? Remember, he gave up this power when he came to earth. But when he was raised from the dead, his Father exalted him and gave him a name above every name. Okay? Now Jesus has back all his kingly, godly privileges and everything that he had before. Is that clear to everybody now? He's not the same Jesus that walked the earth. He's the same Jesus, but he's now back fully in the Godhead with all his Godhead power. And he's taken the keys of hell and death away from Satan. And he says, all power, or all authority, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye. Every time I read this, the Lord deals with me about this thing, and it really ministers to me when he speaks to me about this thing here. He's saying, look, it's given unto me, and I said, go ye. Okay? Now, what is the relation? This is what God's dealing with me this week. What is the relation between me and ye? This is what the Lord is dealing with my heart about this week. And he said, the reason I said therefore is because I said it's given unto me, go ye, because you are the body of Christ. You are my body. and whatever I have, you have. You see that? This is very important. I'll say it again. All authority is given unto me. Go ye. First glance, that seems kind of weird. I mean, Jesus has all the authority, and he says, go ye, therefore? He's saying, because I have all authority is the reason that you can go and do this thing. On the surface of it, it doesn't make sense. But when you realize what Jesus is really saying, it makes a lot of sense. He's saying, me and ye are the same. Now, don't get the wrong impression here. I'm not saying you're God, but I'm saying we're his body. And he's saying, I'm the head, me, ye are my body, what authority I have, now you go. You see that? That really helps, I think, if you see the authority. You can see that when he says, therefore, he means because we have the same authority, he gave it to us. We'll see that more fully as we go on with the lesson. And then he says, teach all nations, or make disciples is a better word in the Greek, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. That means go and make Christians of all people. And then in verse 20, he says the next step. The first step is more of an evangelistic thing. Go make Christians. The second step in verse 20 says, and then teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. In other words, that's more of a teaching. In other words, don't leave them there. Once you get them Christians, bring them along. See, there's two big phases here to a Christian's growth. First of all, you've got to become Christians. You've got to make disciples of them. And the next thing is then to teach them whatever Jesus has shown us. And where do we find out that? Right in here. And that's kind of what we're doing tonight. All right, so after Jesus defeated Satan in hell, he received all authority in heaven and earth. All right. Number two, he received the keys to death and hell. All right. Revelations 1:18, I'll just read it here, says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. What are keys a symbol of? Authority. That's what keys, what he means. I have the authority now over hell and death. That's the authority that Satan used to have in the earth. And Jesus is telling us that authority he had before, I've taken it away from him when I was in hell. And I brought those keys and that authority with me, and he doesn't have it anymore. Do you remember in Luke 12:5, where the disciple, he was talking to his disciples, and we covered it last week, and Jesus said to them, he said, don't fear those who can kill the body, and after that, can't do anything else. He says, but the one to be concerned about is the one that after he's killed has the authority to cast into hell. Remember that? See, Satan kills death, and he had the authority to cast into hell. Keys of hell, keys of death. Jesus now got that, and Satan can't do that anymore. Satan can't willy-nilly put people in hell on his own regard. It has to be because they haven't accepted Jesus as the Savior. Not everybody's not streaming into hell anymore, okay? And Jesus is saying that. He says he doesn't have that authority over death anymore. He doesn't have that authority over hell anymore. I got it. Okay, so Jesus received the keys to death and hell. Number three, Jesus received a name above every name. Now let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and take a look at that. I love Philippians chapter 2. You can really use this scripture. There's a lot of names in the world today, but there's one name that's above every name. There's all kinds of names. What are names? Names are nouns. Names can be, and when I was in English, we learned that there are proper names, like Mike and Jackie and Nikki and Stan, and there are other nouns that are just names, like cancer, like heart disease. I mean, those are names, aren't they? Jesus' name is greater than those names. Take a look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Let's start with verse 5. I'm going to read this one because it's kind of long. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, what was that? Well, here it goes. Who, Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means he wouldn't be taking something that wasn't his if he would say, I'm equal with God, because he is God. But He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself willingly the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. In other words, he wasn't made anymore in the likeness of God. He was God still, don't get me wrong here. But he came into the earth, born of a woman, and gave up his heavenly powers. And being found in fashion as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of this, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. What is that name? That at the name of Jesus, that's the name, folks, Jesus. That's the name that's got the power. That's the name we're to pray to the Father in, Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Jesus is Savior of the world. He is also the Christ. But Christ is not his last name, right? It's just Jesus, the Anointed One, is what it means. He was the one anointed of the Father. So Jesus is his name. Jesus is the name that has the power. Here's something interesting. You know the scripture that says, he that humbles himself will be exalted, and he that exalts himself shall be humbled. We've all heard that scripture, right? Matter of fact, it's Luke 14:11 and 1 Peter 5, 6. Now listen to this. Jesus humbled himself infinitely, you might say, because here is God himself, Jesus Christ. If you read the Bible closely, you find out that Jesus is the creator of the universe. He is actually the instrument of God that did the actual creation of the universe and all the beings in the universe. Okay? He created Satan. Jesus did. Satan is not on any par with Jesus. Satan is a created being. Lucifer was a created being. Now, take the scripture, he that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Think of an infinite humiliation where God himself lives on the earth, is spit upon, has his beard pulled out, is vilified, blasphemed against, put on a cross, God himself. It doesn't get any more humbling than that, folks. But to the degree that Jesus was humbled, to that degree he was exalted when he rose from the dead. Exalted above any being that's ever lived. And his Father bestowed upon him honors that he didn't have even before he came to earth. He gave him a new name that was never before, was saved in heaven for this occasion. If we read the Bible and we went study on the name of Jesus, we could come up with all these things. But the name of Jesus, he gave him as a name above every name that ever will be, ever has been. And it's a name at which every knee must bow, every knee on earth, every knee in heaven, and every knee under the earth must bow to the name of Jesus and confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, I want to emphasize the fact that it's the name Jesus. If you're a Christian, you hear the word Jesus, it should do something in your spirit. More than Christ, even. Because Jesus is the name with the power. Jesus is the name of your Savior, not Christ. Jesus the Christ is what he was. So, you know, folks, when we pray, you know, and this is just a little aside, we should pray in the name of Jesus. Don't get trapped by the enemy to saying, Father, we pray in thy name. We come together, we come before you, and we pray for this, Father, in thy name, amen. Or in his name, amen. There is no power in thy or his. The power is in the name of what?
Jesus.
So often I hear virgins.
I know.
In the name of Christ.
See, that's not the name either. It sounds good. It means, Christ means, yeah, anointed one. Yes. And so, that is not the name. See, there's lots of Christ. Jesus said this. He says, many shall come in my name saying, I am the Christ, I am the Christ, I am the anointed one, I am the anointed one. But there's only one Jesus. And that's the name the Father chose to put the power in. So when you come against the enemy, Satan, come against him with the name Jesus. And I feel God's authority when I'm telling you this. Jesus is the name that stops Satan in his tracks. Not Christ, not thy, not his, not for Jesus' sake, nothing else but the name Jesus Christ. That's the name above every name. It tells us so right here. And if you go back in the Bible, you'll never find anybody in the Bible praying in the name of Christ, praying in his name, praying in thy name, ever, once, zilch, nada, none. But you do see him casting out devils in the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Christ Jesus. Or you can say the name of Jesus Christ, that's fine, but have Jesus in it. See? That's where the power is. Okay, so three things he received: all authority in heaven and earth, the keys to death and hell, and a name above every name, which is the beautiful, wonderful, holy name of Jesus Christ. When I was saved, that name just really, really, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that name just was wonderful. When I'd hear it, it was like music in my spirit or something like that. In fact, I went up to I was still in the Catholic Church, and I was in a mass, and I went up to the priest afterwards, and I never did this before, and I went back in the sacristy, which is the place where he comes out up to say mass, and I said, I just want you to know that I just loved the name of Jesus that you were saying. He said the name of Jesus several times in different contexts, and he didn't know what I was talking about, and I don't even know what I was talking about then, but I was a brand new Christian, and that name was so beautiful, you know, and he just said, oh, well, thanks. He didn't, you know, what I meant exactly, and if someone said that to me, I would understand a little bit more now, because that name is so powerful. That name is a name above every name. And that's the name that should be on the Christian's lips when they pray to the Father. Okay. Number two. Go ahead.
In Luke 1:31, when the angel came to Mary, he said, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb the baby born son, and shalt call his name Jesus.
That's his name.
This is an order. You don't have any choice.
Thank you, Thorpe. That's exactly right. Call his name Jesus, not Christ. He's Jesus the Christ. Just like Thorpe is Thorpe the pilot. You know? You don't pray in the name of the pilot. You don't pray in the name of Thorpe either, but you see what I mean. You know, Christ is his title. But his name, Jesus, is where the power is. Thanks. That's good, Thorpe, because he was ordered. Here's orders from on high. Name this child Jesus. All right. For those who choose Jesus, the Father does five things, and I'll talk about these. But first, let's go over them real quickly. This is so good. First of all, the Father takes that one, those who choose Jesus, from Satan's kingdom and places those people immediately into the kingdom of Jesus. There's a change of kingdoms. He takes you out of the authority of Satan, Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power or the authority of Satan and translates us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So at the instant of the new birth, you are taken out of, from under the authority of Satan in your life and placed into the kingdom of Jesus. That's number one. Number two, the Father recreates your spirits. And that's where we get the term born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are now of God. And where is that new? In your spirit, when you're born again. So what does he do? He recreates your spirit. The instant you were born again, your spirit man was recreated. You were a brand new person that never existed before. And that's why, and we won't get into this tonight, I don't want to argue with anybody about it, but when you talk about generational curses and all of that, that's a bunch of hooey, okay? When you're born again, that's all done. You are a new creature in Christ. You are redeemed from the curse of the law. All that stuff has no authority over you anymore unless you want to confess it back into your life again. Then that's up to you, but don't do that, okay? So he recreates your spirit. And that's why the Bible's taught the new birth is so wonderful. And people wonder, well, if I'm a brand new person, why do I still do? Hey, wait, it's your spirit that's recreated, not your body, not your soul. Okay, that's another lesson. Number three. Now, this is so wonderful. For those who choose Jesus, he makes them sons of God. Legal sons and heirs with Jesus Christ. You have as much rights as Jesus Christ does. You have the same. You're an heir with him to every promise of God. You are a son of God or a daughter of God. That's pretty special.
That is so hard to grasp.
And you know when it says in John 17, he loves us as much as he loves Jesus.
Yeah.
But get it in your spirit, folks. It's wonderful when you get it down in your spirit. Then you can come against the enemy knowing that you're a child of God, You're a son of God. You're a member of Jesus' body. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and you can work works in His name. You build your faith up to where you can be an overcoming, victorious Christian. But if you don't know this stuff, and that's why we're covering this stuff, you can kind of fall back into the malaise of a lot of Christians, sad to say, that don't know that really the privileges, the sonship privileges in Christ, where they're sons of God, have the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling their spirit, and very members of Jesus' body. That's the five things. Okay, the Father takes you from Satan's kingdom, puts you into Jesus' kingdom. He recreates your spirit, so you're born again. He makes you a son or daughter of God Himself. He makes you a member of Jesus' body. Think about that. Jesus is the head. That's why Ephesians says we are seated with Him in heavenly places, because we're part of His body. We are His body. All right? And we are a dwelling place for who? Who in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Think about those things. Now, this new person that was born again and recreated the new birth, that is in Jesus' kingdom, has had their spirit recreated. Now, listen to this. This person who is a son of God is a member of Jesus' body, has the Holy Spirit indwelling their spirit. Who does this new person sound like? All right. Hint. Who else was also born again, was a son of God, had the Holy Spirit, and had a body called Christ? Jesus. That's what we're like. That's what God created us into. We aren't Jesus, but we're little Jesus, is basically, is what God's put on this earth in His body to go around and continue to do what? The work that Jesus was doing, and continue that work. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You see how the Father planned this whole thing? It's really quite beautiful. He gave us the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. He calls us sons of God, just like Jesus was. Okay? And He calls us the body of Christ. What He's telling us, folks, is that we have the same authority to do the works that Jesus did when He was on this earth, and that's what He expects us to be doing. Now you can understand a little bit better what it says in John 14:12. Jesus said, yes, I'm going back to my Father. But if I do go back, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And because of this, you'll be able to do the works that I did, and even greater works, because I go to the Father. You'd think, well, that doesn't make any sense. If Jesus is going to Father, how are we going to do works that Jesus did, let alone greater works? Well, you're starting to get a little picture of this now, what God's got in mind here? He's saying, look, as far as I'm concerned, you're my son and daughter, just like Jesus was. Remember, Jesus didn't minister as God when He ministered here. He ministered as a prophet under the old covenant. Okay? You're in the new covenant. He's saying, you're a son of God, like Jesus was. You have the very same Holy Spirit indwelling your spirit that Jesus did. And furthermore, Jesus is going to give you your marching orders in heaven. He's the head of the body. And guess what, folks? You're going to be the body. You're His body. You're His son. And you have the Holy Spirit. You have everything that Jesus had. All right? Together, we do. All right? Together, the body of Christ has everything that Jesus had to minister with when He was on this earth. Does everyone see that? So God, when Jesus went back, as far as from God's viewpoint, it was no big deal. He's getting His son back. That's a big deal. But as far as getting the work done on the earth, there shouldn't be any real change. Why? Because I've got thousands of little Jesuses running around who have the Holy Spirit, who are my sons, all right? Who are the body of Christ. You know, I'm emphasizing this tonight because we need, as the body of Christ, to see ourselves as God sees us. And when we do, we'll start doing the works that Jesus did. And then we can start thinking about the greater works. And we'll get into that a little bit tonight, what the greater works are. Now, some of you, if it's the first time you've ever thought about this or heard this, I can imagine that your heads are spinning a little bit. But folks, this is Bible. You know, you won't hear this in a lot of churches. And I'm not trying to be special in this group or anything. I'm just telling you, God told me, Mike, preach the word. just like it says. Don't water it down. Don't go back on it. You give them the meat of the Word. And you don't worry about the consequences. You just tell them what the Word of God says, and I'll anoint that Word if you do. But if you don't, I won't. And so my job is to bring the Word. And then the Holy Spirit that's in all of your spirits here, you know, if your mind doesn't get in the way, will go, yes. It's food for your spirits, basically, what we're talking about here. So now it gets even better. In verse D here it says, he then gives Christians the right to use his name, Jesus does, and exercise his authority on the earth. All right, now let's take a look at Matthew 16:19. The Lord just put a lot of these things together for me this week. I mean, I've known some of this before, but never really connected quite the way that he put it together for me this week. So let's just take a look at Matthew 16:19. And let's see, we'll have Mark read that nice and boldly. Now keep in mind, as Mark reads this, that we're the body of Christ. Okay? Now try to see this from God's point of view. It helps, I think, to understand. Now, as far as God sees us, you got to understand, he sees us as his sons and daughters. He sees us as the body of Christ. And he sees us with the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us and with authority to do his work on the earth. Now, Mark, read verse 19.
And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
Now, you can start to see what Mark just read there a little bit more clearly, I think, what Jesus was trying to say here. You know, if you just read this isolated without all the things we've talked about tonight, and you read, Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's the authority, okay? Keys are the authority. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That means Jesus is saying, now listen to this, whatever you bind on the earth, I'll back you up in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We'll back you up in heaven. Now, if you look through the Gospels, you come to Luke 13 and talks about this woman. And this woman, it said, had been bound 18 years. And then Jesus said, ought not this woman be loosed, who is the daughter of Abraham? Binding and loosing. Okay? Jesus loosed her. She was bound. Jesus says here that I'm giving you the authority to bind things on earth. And if you do, I'll back you up in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. In other words, you come up to someone who needs to be delivered of an evil spirit or something. It could be other things you could be bound with and stuff. But you can. First thing you need to do is bind that thing. Stop it from what it's doing. You know, it's no sense, you know, let's say you're out in a boat and you're sailing across a lake and it springs a big leak in the bottom and water's gushing in. Now, what's the first thing you should do? Pray for the water to go out of the boat or stop the leak? Let's stop the leak first, and then to get rid of the water, okay? Okay? So what Jesus is saying, first, I give you authority to stop. But, okay, I can't walk up to somebody on the street that has an evil spirit and they want to have it and they like it and they want to live for the enemy and cast that spirit out of them because they want it. And I don't have authority over human spirits. We only have authority over evil spirits. But anything in my household, I have control over because that's my area of authority. I don't have authority over your spirits. And so as parents, we can come up anytime our kids are getting sick or something like that, and we can stop it in the name of Jesus. We can lay our hands on that child in the name of Jesus and bind that source of this thing. And then, once we bind it, we can loose that child or loose that person or loose that thing from whatever it was bothering them. Then we can get rid of the water out of the boat. Okay? So Jesus is saying an amazing thing here.
Okay, so you bind.
Stop it. Right.
Can you loose us, for our children, from
the
source?
Right. First stop Satan, then get him healed, for example. You know what I'm saying? first stop is activity. Now, let's pray for their healing. Get them loosed from this thing. Bind them. Get stop the enemy. Now let's get them loosed from the sickness. Okay, two steps. And Jesus is saying, whatever you bind on earth, I'll back you up in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll back you up in heaven. Now, isn't this consistent with this whole idea of being sons of God, being members of his body on the earth, working the works that Jesus worked? So far, we haven't gotten the greater works, but didn't Jesus deliver people? Didn't Jesus get people healed? We're supposed to be doing these same works. Right? We need to get this in our spirits to the point where we can go out and do these things. Now, like I say, you don't have authority over another person's spirit. In your own life and in your own little sphere, you can control a lot easier than somebody else's. For example, if I go out and someone else has got a sickness and I lay my hands on them, if they've got that sickness and they did something that has to be fixed before they can get rid of it, that has to happen first, okay? That's, you know, understand, you don't have authority to go in their lives and change things. There may be some repentance necessary. But we have authority in our own families, and we can go out and pray with other people, but whether they're healed or not depends on them too, see? We can't overcome things in their life that may be causing situations. For example, I can't go out and lay my hands on Stan here, and Stan's having a financial problem, and say, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just bind the enemy that's causing this financial problem in his life, and I loosen from this, and Stan doesn't tithe. You know, see, that's involved in here too. Or Stan's not walking in love. I'm not picking on Stan, but I'm just using an example. But in your own family, especially for little children who have not sinned before they reach the age of reason, their spirits are perfectly clear before God. You can take authority. Okay? Now, we can't cover this in the detail I'd like to tonight, but I've raised some things here that I want you to begin to see the degree of authority we have as Christians. You don't hear this everywhere. We should. This is in the Bible. But, you know, let's make up for lost time. What do you say? And learn about some of these things.
That's why you could pray tonight for the little child who has cancer. Because she did not obey his accountability.
But it would be better, even, if their parents knew this and they applied the authority they have as parents. That would be even better. Because they have authority in that household. See, I can't go in your house and say, Ellen, I don't like the way you've got the furniture in this house. I'm going to start rearranging. I'm going to change everything, and I see $50 on the table, and I'm going to take that. You know, I don't have any authority in your house. If you want to give it to me, you can, you know. You have authority in your house. See, authority is very important, where our spheres of authority are. And what you can do with someone else that needs healing, for example, is teach them a little bit and get them to agree with your prayer. If you can do that, then that person will be healed. But you have to get them kind of where you are to see some of these things. Otherwise, they're just going to be hoping, not agreeing, and that won't work. Now, as we go along over the next few months, some of these things will become clear. I'm just raising some issues tonight that I want you to begin to see so that we can start doing some things as Christians that we should be doing. And we can use our faith. I want to build your faith tonight a little bit in who we are in Christ and the authority that we have. So we don't just sit back and take all this stuff from the enemy anymore. Okay? Okay. All right. So, he gives the Christians the right to use his name. Yes, Dan.
Let's say you go into their home and they give you the authority. They're non-believers, but yet they're like on the verge and they have sick in their life. But they've given you authority. Then you can cause healing to come to that child.
Right. Right. And it's even, and I'll tell you something that's kind of a surprise, and I don't want to go into this in any detail, but it's even easier to get unbelievers healed than it is Christians. You know why? Because Jesus said, go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. The world. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that doesn't believe will be damned. And then he says to us as Christians, he that believeth in my name shall he go. He's talking still about the world. And lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, healing with laying on of hands and all that should be a sign to unbelievers of the authority you have in Christ. God knows that they're not believers yet. And we can go into the world and do that. But Christians should know that by Jesus' stripes they were healed. and that Jesus has already taken their infirmities and bore their sicknesses and redeemed them from the curse of the law, which included every sickness and every disease. Okay? Christians should know that, and they should act on that for themselves and their families. Okay? You won't find, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time, you won't find in the Bible Christians praying for Christians for healing. Except in James chapter 5, where it says, is any sick among you? And if you read the original Greek, it says, does any among you have minor ailments or anything? Let him call for the elders of the church. That means someone who's a pretty new Christian that doesn't have their own faith in the Word of God. It doesn't know their rights and privileges as Christians. But if you sit around for 10 years and you hear this preached and you don't act on it, God expects you to act on these things, okay? And take advantage of the rights that you have. You know, sometimes I've noticed it's easier to get baby Christians healed than it is Christians that have heard the Word for a while. Because God expects them to act upon the rights and privileges that they already have. And to see that by Jesus' stripes, they were healed. That Jesus has already taken their infirmities and bore their sickness. Just as he took their sins. But see, we need to know that. And we need to probably, as we go along here, the Lord will have us have some classes on healing. You know, we think Wednesday night, and we had it at church, we had 11 weeks on healing. Last, you were there, I remember. Some of the rest of you were there on healing, and Ellen was there, and Martha was there, on healing, and some of this is not new to them. And there's all these different things, like Stan brought up about, okay, what about this situation, what about that, and we can discuss that in more detail when we get into healing. But for tonight, I just want you to see the authority that we have here, okay? All right, so we have the right to use his name. Now look at Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Let's see, Danielle, read verse 17 and verse 18, please.
And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well.
Now, this almost sounds like a fairy tale if you just read it and don't understand some of the things we've talked about tonight. But look at what Jesus is saying. First of all, can we trust Jesus? I think we can. Now, this isn't real theological here. It isn't real difficult to understand. Jesus just says some simple things. He said, these signs shall follow those that believe. He didn't say apostles. He didn't say preachers. He didn't say those that studied the Bible 2 hours a day for 10 years. He said those that believe. Okay? That's all of us here as far as I know. Every one of us here is a believer. These signs should follow any of us in this room. All right? And here they are. In my name, if they need to, they can cast out devils. Now, unless the person doesn't want the devil out. You understand that we don't have authority over human spirits. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. For every believer, contrary to what most of us have heard, it's for every believer if they want this. All right? Number three, and if they, now let's say you're out like Paul was, preaching the gospel on this island and a snake bites you. You don't go out and pick up snakes and play with them, no. We know that. But if you need to and you're on a missions journey or something or anywhere else and you get struck by a poisonous snake, you can shake it off in the name of Jesus and be immune from its poison. If you understand the authority that you have in this area, because Jesus says so here. Same way with drinking something that might be bad for you. You go somewhere and, you know, you drink some poison accidentally or something like that. Jesus is saying, hey, in my name, claim immunity from that. We don't run into that too often. Here's one, though. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Believers, we should be laying hands on the sick. Go out there. Lay your hands on the sick. Now, you know, everybody you lay your hands on, are they going to get healed? There's that potential there. The power's there. You have the authority to do it. But it depends somewhat on that other person, too. Okay? But in your own family, you have authority. When you go to someone else, you know, you need to teach them a little bit. And that's some of the mistake that we make sometimes, I think. We go up to some people and say, sick? No problem. I'll lay hands on you. And that's good. You have faith, and you should, and that's great. But sometimes those people need a little help to get where you are so they can understand. Now, this especially for Christians, okay? Now, when Stan talked about non-Christians, they aren't expected to know anything. Jesus knows they don't know anything, okay? But for Christians, you got to teach them a little bit sometimes. You've got to go to them and show them in the Bible a few things to get them to the point where their faith is at some level you can agree on something. And sometimes you can't get them there. And sometimes you have to kind of fall back to their level and say, okay, what can you believe for? Because there's no point in agreeing for something if they're not in agreement. It's not going to work. And sometimes you actually have to fall back to something that says, well, I can't agree I'm going to be healed if you pray right now. My faith isn't there. Okay, that's fine. Your faith, and we can't seem to have time to get it there. What can you believe for? Well, I can believe that when I go to the hospital and have this operation, I'm going to recover so fast they're going to amaze the doctors. Fine, let's agree on that then. Okay, find something you can agree on. All right, so let's go on a little bit here. Number two, he even promises that he will go with us to enforce our authority. Did you know that? Not only do we have the Holy Spirit indwelling our spirit, the mighty Holy Spirit, not only are we sons of God, not only are we members of the body of Christ, but God promises to go with us. Open your Bibles to Mark. Well, we're already at Mark 16. If you're still there, Ellen, would you read verse 20?
And they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that attended.
Praise God. The Lord did what?
Worked with them and confirmed.
Worked with them. See, we're not by ourselves here. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you alone. They're all excited because he's going away. Jesus, you're going away. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Father is going to come. Don't worry about it. He's going to come and he's going to reside in you as Christians. And that's what he means here when he says, the Lord working with them. And what? Confirming the word with signs following. That means you need to go out solidly based in the Word. Okay, and that's what we're trying to do tonight. Get that solid foundation of what you can and can't do as Christians based in you. And there's a lot of things we can do. Okay? And the Word, the Lord says, I will go with you every time you do this, every time you go out. Remember what he was talking about? He was talking about casting out devils. He was talking about laying hands on the sick. And he said, I'm going to go with you when you do this. Don't worry. I'll be with you. And I will confirm my word with signs that follow. Now, if signs aren't following, then we may maybe check up on the word. We may need to check up on what we're doing. But he's saying, if you're doing what my word said do, then I will confirm that with the sign that should follow what you're doing, laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, whatever. You can do this, folks. I mean, I had a guy staying in my house that was so devil-oppressed. It was incredible, wasn't it, honey? This man was in a mental institution. And I used to get him periodically and bring him to my house for the weekend and try to help him a little bit. And this guy was an amazing guy. He was an expert mathematician. But he was very schizophrenic and paranoid, and the enemy was just running rampant through his life. I mean, one time I was fasting and praying for him the whole time he was there. He walked into my office where I was and says, you're fasting for me, aren't you? Well, I didn't tell him that, you know. And he would do crazy things like lay under the mattress, between the mattress and the springs because of the rays that were coming at him, that were getting him and everything. And, well, he would have seizures a lot. And these seizures were brought on by the enemy. Not all seizures are, but these were. And he told me whenever they start, they never stop, and they go through completely to the end, and it's pretty bad. He had these pretty bad seizures. And so one time he started one of these seizures when I was around, and I just said, no, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command that to stop right now. And immediately it stopped. And he came out of it, and he said, that's never happened before. Any time that's ever happened before, it has gone through all the way. And he never had another one after that. And he was having them at the rate of a couple of weeks at the hospital. So we do have authority in these areas, folks. We just need to use it. Okay, Matthew 20 says this. Lo, Jesus said, after he said, go out to all the world, and he said, teaching them whatever I've commanded you, he said, I'm with you always, even into the end of the world. He's with us when we go out there. You know, I've done some knocking on doors and handing out tracts, and it's nice to know he's with you when you knock on that door, and you don't know what's behind that door, you know, sometimes. Mary Ann sits in the car and I prays and, you know.
Jesus with him. I'm sitting in the car.
Just me do this.
I wasn't called to do it. I just wanted to protect him.
Well, that's fine. That's what I want her to do. Keep the engine running and the door open, honey. Just in case. Yeah. Did you have a question, honey? No. Okay. Basically, what we're saying here is Adam's authority is now restored to believers. That's what we're saying. That was God's plan. And that's what he did through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, do they all know? No, they don't. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, for lack of the stuff we're talking about tonight. And then, how do you know? How are you ever going to know these things?
What? Someone's got to tell you.
Someone's got to tell you. Jesus said it this way, huh? Someone's got to tell you. And where are we going to get that information if someone's going to tell you? Where's he going to have to get it, or she? From the Word. Jesus said this. He said, if you continue in my Word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't that interesting now, in light of everything that we've said? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you disciples, my disciples indeed. And then, continuing in the word, you shall know the truth. And that truth shall make you free. See, folks, there's things in our lives right now maybe we're not quite free from. But if you know the truth, that truth can make you free. And so, you know, it's really up to us. Now, just real quickly, Christians now have authority to use Jesus' name in several ways. First of all, in prayer to the Father. Use Jesus' name. Jesus said in John 16:23, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you shall receive. He says, up to now you haven't asked, but ask and you shall receive. So when we pray a prayer of petition, now there's several kinds of prayer. We don't have time to get into all that. But the prayer of petition, we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We don't pray to Jesus, and we don't pray in some other name. Just do it like God said do it, and that'll work. Number two, we have authority in Jesus' name to cast out devils, to speak in new tongues, to lay hands on the sick. We just saw that. Number three, we have authority in Jesus' name to do the works of Jesus. Turn to John chapter 14. This will be probably the last scripture that we'll look at tonight. Read verse 12, would you, Martha, in John 14.
I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father.
She said, he that believes in him, the works that Jesus did, shall he do also. Can we interpret that any other way? Is there any other slant we can put on that? Now, if we really believe the Bible, then Jesus is saying the works that I did also you can do under one condition. You have to be a what? A believer. Now, the sons of Sceva found out it doesn't work for non-believers, didn't they? They tried to cast out a devil in Jesus' name, all seven of them, and they all got stripped of their clothes naked and they ran for their lives. So it didn't work for them. It wasn't because God lied here. It wasn't because Jesus lied. It's because they didn't believe on him. Now, what are some of the works that Jesus did that we can do then? Name a few. He healed the sick. Raised the dead. Delivered people that were under the influence of the devil. Preached the gospel. Made the blind see. All these are works that Jesus did. And these that are works that the collective body of Christ should be doing today. And they are. I mean, don't we all understand that these are happening to even today? Some people say, even Christians, this isn't for today. And bless their darling hearts, they don't know that they're playing right into the hands of the enemy when they say that. Every time they say that, Satan's going, right, that's exactly what I want you to say. I want you to say these things aren't for today. I want you to say speaking in tongues is not for today. When we just read, it is for any believer. I want you to say all those things. I love it when you say those things because it promotes my kingdom. And it's a horrible farce when Christians, through their ignorance, and I'm not putting anything on anybody, I'm just saying they don't know, but they're helping the enemy with some of these statements. Let's stick with the Bible. The Bible is very clear here. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Oh, man. Because I go to the Father. That sounds doubly hard. Number one, greater works are we going to do, the believers. And furthermore, it's going to have something to do with, because he's going to the Father. The further Jesus gets away, it seems to me the heart's going to be to do. I don't know, it just seems like it ought to be that way. But see, it's not. Because when he goes to the Father, what was he going to send? The Holy Spirit. Now, what are some of the greater works? Well, I've prayed about this. First of all, Jesus was one man, ministering as a prophet under the Old Covenant. We are thousands and millions of Christians ministering under the New Covenant, which Hebrews 8:6 tells us is even a better covenant, established on better promises. Now we can kind of say, well, yeah, that would be a greater work, wouldn't it? More of us doing the same works that Jesus did. What? And, well, I was getting to that. That's another work that Jesus was never able to do. Jesus was never able to minister the gospel to people and get them saved, really. He did briefly in John 20, he breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." But see, that was only after he was raised from the dead. And Romans 10:9-10 says, to be saved, you must do two things. You must, first of all, believe that Jesus rose from the dead and confess him as your Lord. If you read that scripture closely in John 20, you'll see that they believed he rose from the dead. That's easy, because he was standing right there. And number two, they called him Lord. He was their Lord. And so they were eligible to be saved, and Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." But Jesus only ministered that one time that we know about. And he couldn't do it until he rose from the dead. So while Jesus walked the earth ministering as a prophet under the old covenant, no one got saved. Few had their sins forgiven, but that's not the new birth. Okay? So that's a greater miracle, isn't it? That's the greatest miracle there is. A greater work, folks. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus never ministered the baptism in the Holy Spirit, laid hands on believers, and said, and had them receive the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues. That was not in that dispensation. So this is a greater work that's received for this dispensation. Okay? So we have authority to preach and minister both of those, the new birth and the baptism in the Holy Ghost. So, three reasons I can think of that we can do greater works. First of all, there's more of us. And collectively, as the whole body of Christ, we can do every work Jesus did, because he says so right here. Number two, we're operating under a better covenant with better promises, and there's no more curse for us to deal with. We're redeemed from the curse. And number three, as Karen pointed out, we have a new authority to preach salvation and baptism in the Holy Spirit. And notice that every one of these privileges depend upon only one thing. And what is it? Being a believer. Being a believer. If you'd go home this week and kind of go over this in your own quiet time, if some of this is a little new, and meditate on some of these scriptures, it would be very helpful. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Father God, for showing us the rights and privileges we have as sons of God, members of the body of Christ, with the mighty Holy Spirit indwelling our spirits. And Father, I just ask you in Jesus' name during this week, Lord, just to make this so real in the hearts of everyone that's here tonight. I just ask you to burn this into their spirits, Father, so that they see themselves in a new way with a new power and a new authority that they never realized maybe they even had before, Father. And Father, during this week, I ask you in Jesus' name that as situations arise where they can use this authority and the power that already indwells them to bring about and bear fruit for your kingdom, I ask you to quicken it to them and say, you can do this and help this person right now. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained. Last week we had a lesson started that was called How to Stop the Devil from Interfering in Your Life. Last week we did part three, which was Know What You Have Authority Over. And so we talked about that, and we have a little homework on that. And so let's just go over the questions a little bit and see if we kind of agree on our answers here. First question. After his resurrection, Jesus received all authority, both in heaven and earth, and the keys also to death and hell. Is that true or false? That's true, isn't it? That's what we covered last week. Good. Everybody agreed on that one.
I thought he got the keys when he was in hell before he was resurrected.
Ah. Whoops. Yeah. You're right.
I thought it was a trick question.
No, it wasn't meant to be tricky, but...
read that a couple of times.
Boy, that's a good one. I wish I'd have thought of that first. I got it wrong. No, actually, yeah, you're right. Technically, you're right. He did receive those when he was in hell.
You just said Jesus had all authority then.
Yeah. Well, I meant to reinforce that with the keys to death and hell, but I forgot it was before his resurrection. Oh, well. I get that one wrong. All right, we'll try a different one now. Philippians. I do that sometimes. I never do that. I'd never try to trick you. Philippians 2, 9, and 10 says that Jesus received a name above every name, and at the name of Christ, every knee in heaven and earth and hell must bow. Why is it false? Right. Should be Jesus, shouldn't it? Very clever. See, now I was being a little tricky there, but... yeah, kind of an adjective or a title, more or less, you know, the anointed one. It's not his last name, as I heard one teacher say one time. Okay. Yeah.
For real? They said that?
Well, no, he said it's not. He says Christ isn't Jesus' last name. He was making... No, he was trying to... It was actually Kenneth Copeland who was on TV one morning, and he was saying...
Okay.
It was basically the same thing we're talking about here, and anyway, that's what he said. Everyone on the earth is a son of God because God is man's father. True or false? Why is it false?
Because you've got to be a believer,
really. Have God as your father. Thank you, Madge. You're right on top of it. I had somebody argue with me. I've gotten in trouble with that question before. I mean, a lot of Christians will insist that God is everyone's father, but the Bible is very clear on this. John 8:44 and 1 John 3:10.
Mike studies, did he?
Well, or read their Bible closely, one of the two, because it's very clear about when God becomes your father and we become his sons and daughters, isn't it? Okay. True or false? The Holy Spirit indwells man's spirit. True or false? That's what I put down because, but then I got to thinking it could be true too, depending on how you read this. I meant to say false. The Holy Spirit indwells not just any man's spirit, but a Christian spirit, right? But on the other hand, that if you're looking at it by where he dwells in your spirit. So I read that the second time this afternoon. I thought, you know, really, that could be true or false, depending on whether you put the emphasis on where it is, his spirit, or whether you put it on just man's versus Christian. So I'll let either one go there. Man needs to do Jesus' will because he's the head and mankind is his body on earth. True or false? False. Why false, Stan? Christians is his body. Very good. Got you on that one, huh? Well, you were pretty clever on some of the rest of them. You were still thinking about those when you got down here, probably. No, it's not just man.
I think that I was like, okay, the trick one's over.
Yeah.
You'll get a lot of work with them.
See, it's the Christian, like Stan says, that's his body on the earth, not just man. As Christians, we have the right to use Jesus' name to exercise his authority and enforce his will on the earth. True. Everybody agrees on that one. Good. Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, goes with us to put the power behind our authority on the earth. True or false? Why did you think false? Yeah. See, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, what I meant was, the same Spirit that indwelt Jesus' Spirit now is going with us to put the power behind our authority on the earth. See, we have the authority. We don't have the power. God still has the power, okay? This is like the policeman. He has the authority to put up his hand and say, stop. We have our authority to put up a hand to Satan and say, stop. But we don't have the power to stop him, really. God backs us up when we use our authority, okay? And that's what I was trying to get across. But where I messed up here was Jesus' spirit, the Holy Spirit, sounds a little funny. I should have just said the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus goes with us to put the power. Yeah. Yes. I understand. I read that to you today and I thought that's kind of weirdly worded. So I apologize for that. But as long as everybody gets the point, that's the main thing that we're learning here. Adam's authority is now legally restored on the earth by Jesus delegating his authority on earth to Christians. True or false? True. Basically, we're kind of back where God started things as far as authority goes. All right? The only thing is Christians got to wake up to that fact and use the authority that they have. Now we can just sit back and watch the devil knuckle under in every area of our life. True or false? But you know what? A lot of people do that, don't they? I mean, they pretty much just roll with the punches and say, you know, whatever, you know, someday maybe we'll get through this, and they don't take authority over things when the devil's bringing them. According to John 16:23, we may use Jesus' name in prayer like this. Father, I ask you in his name to do whatever we want. You have to say Jesus' name. See, everybody's always saying in thy name, in his name, but really we're supposed to ask in his name, which is Jesus. Good. No, it says that we should pray this way. Jesus, I ask you in Jesus' name to...
I guess, unless you do like that, Father, I ask you in capital H in his name.
I always say this, the power is not in the pronoun his. The power is in the name Jesus. That's where it is. I love that name, don't you? Jesus. Just say it. You know it's something special. Pray this way. Jesus, I ask you in Jesus' name to... And you all said, false. We don't pray to Jesus either, do we? We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Right. In Mark 16:17-18, Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, it says that in Christ's name, Christians may do things like cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. True or false? It should be Jesus' name again. But see, you know, what you were thinking there on that one is kind of tricky because you're thinking of the person, Christ, but see, you got to use that name, Jesus. Yes, we do. And that's why I'm kind of nitpicking this to death here, so that we can get our prayers answered, you know, do things the way the Bible says do them. And this is not just a nitpicky thing either, because the power is in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, if you want to say Jesus Christ, that's fine. You're saying Jesus the Anointed One, that's fine. But you're saying which Anointed One you're talking about, and that is Jesus, that's where the power is. Jesus, 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 that's the name above every name.
If there's only one wire comes up in your light switch, light switch isn't
going to
work.
Yeah. Both hooked up. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's when you're praying, okay? We're going to talk about this a little bit more tonight in another aspect, so that'll be interesting too, I think.
Also, one of the members in the history of the time, they were looking for the Christos or the Christ, and there were many different versions. And there were people who were claiming, and so that was a concept. Jesus was the Lord Jesus. He was also the Christ that we're looking for. But it was not only just a term they were looking for, it was a descriptive term of what he had to do,
others
took that,
and
they tried to do that,
and they weren't. Jesus said, many will rise up and say, I am the Christ. So, by Jesus, we let the enemy know which one we're talking about, like Marianne said.
We can still do that today. I think there's people in Jerusalem all over that say, I am the Christ, or the
Yeah. I'm the Messiah and all that junk. The Bible says that as he, Jesus is, in other words, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. True. Now, that one I didn't get to last week. It was on the outline. So you either had to know that, or kind of maybe in your private time, your quiet times this week, kind of read some of the scriptures that maybe I didn't get to, but... That's 1 John 4:17. and Stan got it right. It says, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. All right? No, it says this will happen in the next world when we get to heaven. Well, I blew that one, didn't I? That would be false then, wouldn't it? It's not when we get to heaven. It's in this world, as he is. See, we're his body. That's why. As he is the head in heaven, so are we in this world, as his body. We're doing the will of God in this world. As Jesus did when he was on earth, we're doing now. We're doing the works of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I know this doesn't square with a lot of maybe stuff we've had in church in our earlier, but this is Bible, what we're talking here. This is what the Bible says. We welcome. It goes even further and says we are to do even greater works than Jesus did because he was going to the Father. True or false? True. And we talked about some of those greater works last week, didn't we? We talked about the fact that he was ministering as a prophet under the old covenant. Now we're ministering in the new covenant, and the body of Christ we all have the Holy Spirit, us Christians, and we're his body. That's why we can do the works that he did. And the greater works, I think it means, you know, I can't prove this anywhere, but there's more of us, for one thing. We're ministering under a new covenant, which has better promises, the Bible tells us, in Hebrews 8:6. It's a better covenant established on better promises. And there's the ministry of salvation and baptism of the Holy Spirit and some other things that Jesus never ministered in the... The new birth is one of the greatest miracles ever, so that's another work. So there's things that we can minister in that Jesus couldn't simply because he hadn't died and been resurrected yet. So good job. You people are really doing well. I mean, you know, if you could just hear the answers that you're giving in this here in this little session that we're having, and not to put down other people, but I'm just saying you are rising out of the crowd, necessary kind of the Christians in general, on what they know. Not because there's anything wrong with them, it's just no one ever told them some of these things. They never learned this stuff, okay? And the Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And if no one ever mentions this, or we don't ever dig in our Bibles and get some ferret some of this stuff out, we can walk along and be like Nikki was saying about, was it your sister? That she's been Christian many years, but still much like a baby Christian. See, being a baby Christian really doesn't have so much to do with how long you've been a Christian. It has more to do with what you've learned and how you've progressed since you got born again. And so you can remain a baby for years and years and years if we don't learn.